That number five on our agenda, the McCook Lake cleanup, and I believe Mr. Kip Rounds will be joining us virtually.
Hey, good afternoon, Madam Chair. I'm gonna, looks like Chris may be sharing my presentation. Can you guys see my presentation okay?
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, perfect. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, and Secretary Roblin. I'm Kip Rounds, Regional Supervisor for Game, Fish, and Parks, and today I'd like to provide you all with a summary of the McCook Lake Sediment and Debris Removal Project that took place throughout this past summer. So, next slide, please, Chris. A little bit about McCook Lake itself. If you're not familiar, McCook Lake is located in Union County, down in the far southeast corner of the state of South Dakota. So the lake is about 270 acres. It's an oxbow lake. It's formed by an old cutoff of the Missouri River. And although McCook Lake is a naturally occurring lake, the McCook Lake Association does pump water from the Missouri River each year to fill the lake to recreational levels. Game, Fish, and Parks fishery staff manages the lake. They've managed the fishery for many years. They currently stock it with walleye on a regular basis, and there's actually a long history of fish stocking in McCook Lake, with stocking records dating back to the early 1900s. So in June of 2024, many of you are aware of this, but the southeast region of South Dakota was hit with consecutive days of heavy rain that led to historic flooding throughout the region. McCook Lake was especially impacted, as dozens of homes, infrastructure, and properties were damaged and destroyed. So, along with those floodwaters that came into the north shore of the lake, sediment and debris also washed into the lake during this flood event. So, throughout the following months, survey information was collected by various groups, including FEMA, our U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Game, Fish, and Parks, and basically, we wanted to get an idea of the extent of damage. To basically start help planning restoration efforts at McCook Lake. So from that survey information, we were able to identify and quantify sediment and debris that settled into the lake that came in with those floodwaters. Then, using all the information we had available, Game, Fish, and Parks staff started planning a project to remove that sediment and debris that came into the lake. So the overall goal we had for this project was to remove sediment and debris that came in from the flood and restore recreational use to McCook Lake. Game, Fish, and Parks played a significant role in shaping this project. It started with determining the scope of work for the general project, and this is where all that survey information came into play. Determining scope of work was important and challenging part of this overall project. And this is where we leaned heavily on our Game, Fish, and Parks engineering staff to interpret that survey information that we had available and also put forth a scope of work that we felt would accomplish the overall goal of the project. So our engineers then produced plans and specifications for the project that were used to advertise for bid for the project and eventually execute a contract. Game, Fish, and Parks also handled all the necessary permitting for this project, which included permits from the South Dakota Department of Ag and Natural Resources, such as the stormwater permitting and water resource enhancement and restoration permit, both through Department of Ag and Natural Resources. We also communicated this project with the United States Army Corps of Engineers to verify if any necessary 404 permitting was needed for this project through their agency. So we were also responsible for just keeping general communication among all involved entities. There were many moving parts with this project and many folks involved, and so communication was, as always, very important with this project. So finally, Game, Fish, and Parks provided general project oversight, and we did that through Banner Engineering, who we had on contract. And we had them on contract basically to provide more of a local representative to help facilitate the project on site. The banner engineering representatives we had were out of Vermilion, so they could keep a closer eye on the project and keep communication efforts among everybody. Funding for this project was paid for by the South Dakota Department of Public Safety, using state emergency and disaster funds. So no Game Fish and Parks license dollars were actually used to pay for this project. So the scope of work for this project involved the removal of just over 20,000 cubic yards of sediment and debris. And that quantity was based on the survey information that we had available. That survey information also allowed us to identify lake bottom elevations and also identified known debris deposit areas within the lake. So this project area primarily focused on the north end, since that's where the water entered the lake during the flood, and a vast majority of the sediment and debris were deposited in that general area. So as far as bid advertising for this project, we held a pre-bid meeting on March 25th on site. We held it at the Adams Homestead Nature Preserve, and that was for all interested bidders to come and learn more about the project, ask any questions that they had, and then we followed up that with a tour of the project area to, again, provide more information to bidders and help answer any questions that they may have had. Bid opening was April 3rd, and we received two bids for this project. Both bidders were local contractors. The project was ultimately awarded to Three Oaks Construction, based out of North Sioux City. So the project cost was just over $1 million, and again, that was funded through the Department of Public Safety using state emergency and disaster funds. As far as the timeline, we provided the notice to proceed to Three Oaks on April 30th of 2024, sorry, of 2025, this past spring. The contractor then began mobilizing, and work began on May 15th. And per the contract, the deadline for this project was set for August 1. Next, I just want to show some pictures of the removal project and explain the contractor's overall process to complete the project. This first picture shows one of the two peninsulas that were formed when floodwaters rushed into the lake and left sediment deposits behind. Those sediment deposits formed peninsulas coming off of the shoreline. This is one of those. We're looking at one of those two peninsulas. So in addition to these peninsula deposits of introduced sediment, there are also high points or islands of sediment deposited offshore. You can see one of them in this picture as well. And then, of course, just debris scattered along the lake bottom. So at a high level, the contractor took a two-pronged approach to this cleanup effort. First was to remove sediment and debris from the shoreline using a long-arm excavator. Second prong was to remove offshore sediment and debris using an excavator that was stationed on a floating barge out in the lake. So they were removing material from both land and water for this project. This next picture shows the general process used from the land side. So they had a long-arm excavator taking scoops of sediment from the water, then turning around, placing it behind that excavator where a second excavator could then grab it and place it in a dump truck to be hauled to the sediment deposit zone. The sediment deposit areas were pre-approved by Danner, which was required through permitting, and they were located just outside of town where all that material could be spread out and allowed to fully dry. This picture shows, so the side dumps would get loaded up, then they'd take load after load after load to the deposit site outside of town. And that was basically, that process was set on repeat until the peninsulas of sediment were completely removed. And so that's kind of a general overview of how the contractor removed the sediment that they could reach from the land side. What they couldn't reach from land, they worked to remove by water. So in early June, I believe it was, the contractors deployed a floating barge that allowed them access to material further out in the lake that they couldn't reach from shore. Next slide, please, Chris. On this barge, they had an excavator, and with that excavator, they could reach down in the water, remove sediment and debris from the lake, and then place it on a shuttle barge that you can also see in this picture. Once that shuttle barge is full, they would push that barge to the shoreline using a boat, where excavators on land could then offload that material and have it hauled away. So it was very much a coordinated process the contractors used to remove material brought in from the flood, both from land and from water. So we are happy to report that this project is wrapped up. The contractor did meet the August 1st deadline, and the construction sites are currently seeded back to grass. Our last step, at Game Fish and Parks' last step before sort of signing off on this project, was to communicate with those landowners that we were working with throughout the project for access to the project, to the shoreline, and make sure they approved of how their property was left and that there were no remaining concerns that still needed to be addressed. And overall, we felt the project went smooth. The contractor was good to work with. It helped that they were local and they were very familiar with the work area and with McCook Lake. And most importantly, we're happy to get McCook Lake cleaned up and restore recreation to this very important water body. Moving forward, so in the spring of 2026, the McCook Lake Association plans to pump water as usual into the lake to fill it to normal recreation level. The city of North Sioux City, who owns and operates the boat ramp on McCook Lake, plans to have that boat ramp available to use again starting in the spring. And then also in that same time frame, the spring of 2026, Game Fish and Parks plans to remove the no wake restriction that's been in place on McCook Lake since the flood. So that no wake restriction will remain in place until springtime, when that water level is back up and folks are ready to recreate and enjoy McCook Lake again. So, Madam Chair, that's all I have for you today. If there's any questions, I can sure take them.
Very good. Any questions for Kip? Kip, I just have one question. I know the lake is used primarily by the residents that live around it, but it's also available to the public. Remind me again of boat ramp to get in there. Is there a public boat ramp that GFMP has to allow public to get in and use this now that it's cleaned up?
Game Fish, yeah, Madam Chair, great question. Game Fish and Parks does not have a boat ramp on the lake. Game Fish and Parks doesn't own any property around the lake. There is, as I mentioned, a city-owned boat ramp on the lake that's available to the public. I believe they charge a fee to use that boat ramp. And that's the only public boat ramp. I believe also the Ike's Club has a boat ramp, but that would be a private boat ramp. So those are the two boat ramps available on McCook Lake.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question. Very good. Any additional questions? Seeing none, we appreciate the update and the report. Job well done.
Thank you.
We are going to move on.